Good morning. Welcome to the Roundtable. Welcome to our book pick segment for the week. We are thrilled to be back talking about books and great books, too. My God. If you want to see, if you're on Twitter, go to the Merit Bookstore page on Twitter and just see the whole satchel filled with just great books. It's a great picture you posted. Just
Thank
good
you.
Stuff. It's Tuesday. It's time for book picks from our independent bookseller of the week. Kira Weisner, of Merit Bookstore in Millbrook. She joins us to present some of the finest authors and books that are making their way to store shelves this season. Kara, it's great to have you here. Thank you very much for being with us.
It's great to be here, Joe. Nice to see you.
Where would you like to begin?
Well, it's an exciting week for books, right? National Book Awards and best of lists.
Yep. Let's
start with some new stuff.
Okay.
Louise Erdick has a new book. It is called Future Home of the Living God. A couple of the books I'm bringing today actually deal with this issue of parenting and figuring out who you are through understanding your own parents, but then parenting your own kids. And while this is a dystopian, crazy, imagined future world, she started writing it in 2002 when the Patriot Act laws came down and was really thinking about women's rights and reproductive rights and how those were, you know, just shifting in this kind of sort of Bush era, and then came back to it again in our recent political climate and published it. And so you have a girl who finds herself pregnant, and all of a sudden in a society where you're not allowed to be pregnant by yourself on your own, you have to be hoarded into these special buildings, and it's a crazy situation. She has she's adopted, so she looks for her birth parents and she finds siblings, and there's all this juxtaposition with the tribal ways and the simpler ways and then the modern ways and being controlled by the government and then going back to completely no control at all. And you know, I think about our phones and all these things that we have all the time. And
all that stuff.
And if it goes away, we will be reduced back to normal, regular, you know, like, hello, how are you?
Right.
So so this book really has a lot going on in it, a lot of kind of sort of big picture and a lot of really small picture.
Future Home of the Living Guide by Louise Erdick. Okay.
So that brings us to The End We Start From by Megan Hunter. And again, this idea of big picture, small picture. You know, life is all these big moments and big things and big political issues, and then it's also filled with tiny things like blowing your nose and going food shopping and, you know, giving a baby a bath. And
not necessarily in that order.
Not necessarily in that order.
but possibly. Certainly.
And so this book, also a little bit dystopian, also starting with somebody who's about to give birth to a baby and the world that they live in, there's a huge flood and all of a sudden everyone's on the run. Everything that you kind of took for granted, being in your house and your apartment building and stepping out when you wanted to and going to dinner, is all of a sudden completely thrown by the wayside, and they're put into survival mode. But it's a very, you know, you can't see it on the radio, but it's a small book.
Yeah.
It's a novella. It's written very lightly, short sentences, a lot to think about, lots of beautiful pauses, and lots of real truths about partnership, motherhood. And even in the midst of chaos, you still have these everyday interactions.
God, yes. The name of the book is The End We Start From by Megan Hunter. All right.
One more book that takes a lot big look at parenting and childhood. So The Wine Lover's Daughter is a memoir by Anne Fadiman. She is one of my favorite writers for two of her books. One called Ex Libris, which she a series of essays which she writes all about her book collection and her future husband's book collection and just books in general. And then another book called When the Spirit Catches You and You Fall Down, which is about understanding different cultural concepts of things like epilepsy is that one. Anyway, this book is called The Wine Lover's Daughter. And her father was this amazing man. He kind of was self-made. He went to Columbia. He worked a million different jobs. He became, at 28, the editor-in-chief of Simon & Schuster.
This is Clifton Fadiman, yes.
He was the book critic of The New Yorker. He was a co-founder of the Book of the Month Club. He was a real personality, and he was a huge wine lover, huge onophile. And Anne actually does not like wine so much. So she's kind of spent, that's her way into this memoir, which is really just about her father, about understanding who he was. And, you know, he was this big personality, and then he was also very human with, you know, lots of flaws, which she's able to find. But the bigger picture is just as he goes through life and worked hard and thought about things and wrote and cared so much about the literary world and the world around him, and, you know, lots of little fun people. You know, Julia Child pops up, Groucho Marx pops up. There are lots of kind of sort of fun things like that, but really like a daughter's love for her father is the shining thread.
Really interesting. It's The Wine Lover's Daughter. It's a memoir, and it is by Anne Fadiman. All right.
All right. We're going to take a bit of a turn now.
Excellent.
I guess wine could be a connection, but this is a book.
Isn't it always?
This is a book published in 1966, and then this translation published in, I think, 2000, called To Each His Own by Leonard Sciascia. And it's an Italian story. It takes place in Sicily, and it's basically the roots of the mafia as we know it. But it's a very quiet story. This author was not so interested in things having fantastical storybook endings. They have very real endings. And it's this kind of lost professor, well, a professor in a town who there's been a murder, and he stumbles upon a small clue and all of a sudden takes it upon himself to start investigating. And to each his own.
That's right.
But Leonardo Sciascia is a writer who wrote a lot of history, really worked to understand his surroundings and political, all the kind of sort of political stuff of the time, you know, back then, and looking at these people who pop up as untouchable by the police force and things like that through the eyes of a teacher is very sweet, and of course in some ways very sad then. And it's a New York Review book, which are, you know, those wonderful books that are, you know, kind of some of them republished, some of them new translations, but just an entire imprint that has fabulous literary merit.
Great stuff. Excellent. Okay. That is To Each His Own by, how did you pronounce the last name? Leonardo?
Sciascia.
Sciascia. Okay.
And now we get to a book called The Prague Sonata. I guess your trail there could be a professor stuck in a mystery that he has to figure out, kind of sort of Kafka-esque, and we can come to Prague. But this is a book by Bradford Morrow, who is a professor at Bard. And I was excited to hear your last person who was here talking about Beethoven and Hummel and Haydn and things like that. So this is a book that takes place in Prague. It's a bit of a love letter to Prague, which is a place that I actually spent an entire summer and love. And it's a book that does kind of three different time periods. There's a modern mystery of a woman from New York who goes there to kind of uncover a musical manuscript and figure out, you know, where it came from. There's the story of the manuscript when it was kind of first hidden, which is then takes place during the war. And Prague had a crazy, you know, the Czechoslovakians in World War II, you know, they were occupied, and some Czechs tried to assassinate one of the kind of big Nazis, Heydrich, and there was this terrible retaliation by the Nazis where lots of people were killed and imprisoned, and Gice, it was a bad time. So there's that kind of sort of war story, and then there's the very original story of when this musical piece was written. And so you have these three time periods, it's a love story, it's a mystery, it's a book that makes you kind of, you know, want to go to foreign places and is long enough to really sit down and settle into in the winter.
What going on? All right.
Yeah, and he's going to come to the Millbrook Literary Festival in May with us. So we're really excited to welcome him to that.
The Prague Sonata by Bradford Morrow. All right.
All right, so we have two more, and these are two books that are on two books that I loved this year that are on the National Book Award finalist list, 5 of 5 books. And so the first one I'm going to talk about is actually out in paperback today.
All right.
It's called Pachinko by Minjin Lee. She joined us at the Millbrook Literary Festival this May, and I've been in touch with her since then. This is a beautiful, important story of a Korean family It starts out in Korea and then in Japan. And the Korean experience in Japan is something that I didn't know much about. It's a very difficult experience. And in general, this is just a story about a family. And it gets back to where we started, this idea of, you know, who are you as a parent and how do you make decisions? And as a child, how do you make decisions and how do you understand your parenting? And do you understand it once you have kids? And, you know, we all make mistakes. And this book just takes you through different people in this family. And it's lush and it's beautiful. And her writing is I want to say flawless, which is probably not like to live up to a lot, but it's fantastic. And also like a real sink into book. Nobody I've given this book to has come back with anything more than raves.
It's Pachinko. It's by Min Jin Lee, and it's out in paperback today. And should note, we have a book show with her that we did several weeks back. And if you go to our book show website, you can find it as a podcast. She's as wonderful a speaker as she is a writer, and she beautifully tells the story of this book. And so if you're interested, you may want to check that out. It's quite an interview. So it's Pachinko by Min Jin Lee. Okay. All right.
Oh, that's great. And then to finish is a book that's really very much unlike any other. It's called Her Body and Other Parties. It's by Carmen Maria Machado, and it is a book of short stories, maybe one novella toward the end, that are just... they're fantastical. They're kind of sort of, it's a little bit fantasy, a little bit reality, a little bit horror, but palatable horror. Really fast-paced, biting.
Palatable horror.
Like, you won't get too scared.
That's good.
It's super fresh. She imagined things that you know, that no one could ever imagine. It's sometimes very rare these days to find something that feels totally different. And then at the same time, she tells truths and stories that are completely recognizable. You know, there's a decent amount of stories about sex and love and romance in here and feelings. And I just, you know, I mean, it's...
I understand.
You know,
I understand.
You don't want to, you know, it's almost like you don't want to say too much to give it away. But if you're looking for something that is really different and exciting and almost like lights you on fire,
this is
a book for you.
Okay. That's all you need.
So that's all you need. And there's a lot going on at the store. And
what else do you have? We have 2 minutes, so you can tell us. Can tell us all about what's going on at the store.
So this Saturday coming up, we have this great woman named Susan Silver. She's written a book called Hot Pants in Hollywood.
There you go.
She was a 70s sitcom writer, so she's got great stories, great clips of shows that she's written, and she's going to be at the store at 1 o'clock. We have Michael Korda coming the Saturday after at 1:30 with his new book Alone, and he's going to talk about that and Sign, and that's kind of a new nonfiction book all about just one kind of sort of set of battles. Then we have Joan Osofsky and Abby Adams, who owns Hammertown, coming with their book called Entertaining in the Country. She's going to come to the store to sign. That's 1 o'clock on Saturday the 2nd. We've had felting workshops that have been really fun, and you can go on our website and find out things like, you know, times, and there's a kids one coming up on the 16th. And then we're also hosting a benefit for a group called Artists for Soup, which is...
I love that. Okay, go ahead.
So it's kind of in Nicaragua to make sure that people have financial stability. And so we're there's a group that's going to come in, and we're just going to host them upstairs and have a whole day. And, you know, Friday is my 2-year anniversary of owning the bookstore.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
A beautiful job.
Thank you.
Got a lot going on, and we thank you very much for being with us. You can find out more by going to meritbooks.com. Find out about all of the events. Find the list. The list is on our website as well at wamc.org/roundtable. Or, again, go to meritbooks.com. Kara, it's always great to have you on the program. Thank you very much. And, again, congratulations. Again, wamc.org/roundtable to see the list. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.